word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. Father, we thank you that you are calling out and sending out laborers into the harvest field. Father, we have an opportunity to meet and hear of a story and how you have done this. And so, Father, we pray that you would just burden our hearts, move through this time and teach us and lead us in all that you want us to know and understand about what you are doing in this world and the glory of your gospel. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Brother Matt and allow him to introduce his family. And
well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I'd like to thank Pastor Heffernan for letting us come be a part of your Missions Emphasis Month. That's a great joy. We are the Reisinger family. We're going to Cameroon, West Africa. My name is Matt. And then my wife, Anna, she's here. I think she's changing a diaper, so she's not in this room at the moment. But my son, Abraham, is sitting back there. Abraham is 2. He has a sister named Janica who is 1. And then number 3 is on the way, due in April. So you all pray for us as we learn to manage this growing mass of humanity. All right. Slowly but surely, we are catching up with the Heffernans. But looking forward to telling you about Cameroon, West Africa this morning. I don't believe you're strangers to Cameroon. So some of this will not be new to you, but some of it might be. So without further delay, let's get into this. I think I'm using this right. Yep. So we're headed for the white harvest fields of Cameroon, West Africa. A little bit about our history. My wife, Anna, she is a missionary kid. She grew up in Cameroon. Her parents are missionaries, Tom and Barb Needham. They've been there for over 30 years now. And so she grew up out there, got saved out there, began to develop a burden for missions out there. I grew up in northern Indiana. I grew up in a Christian home, was saved at a young age. The Lord began to work in my life around age 17, 18 regarding missions. And we met at Baptist College of Ministry in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. And we were married in 2022. After that, we went down to Bowie, Texas. There's a little missionary training school down there called Baptist Bible Translators Institute. And I really appreciate the program there. I appreciate the program at BCM. And I appreciate this program. They do a good job at teaching you how to learn a language. All right. They don't teach you a specific language, but they teach you how to learn it. Especially if you're in a context where there's no one to teach you. So I appreciate the time we spent down there. In 2024, we launched out on our missionary adventure together, and we went to a country called Burkina Faso. We were there for all of 2024, pretty much. And if you don't know where Burkina Faso is, don't feel bad. I remember I mentioned Burkina Faso to a pastor once, and he said, "Is that on my map?" And it is. It's just north of Ghana, Ivory Coast. You may be more familiar with those countries, but in the middle of that map there, you'll see a big white dot. That's the capital city. The capital city is Ouagadougou. All right. I'm going to throw a lot of names at you this morning, and this is Sunday school, so there will be a quiz when we're done. All right. So make sure you're taking notes and you're remembering all these names. Okay. But we were living in Ouagadougou, working with the Keith Shoemaker family. This is a picture of Brother Keith, his wife Rebecca, and 2 of their children, Isaac and Caleb. And I appreciate Brother Keith. He's a man of faith. He's a man of courage, serving the Lord in a country that right now is not the easiest country to be serving in. And so we appreciate what we were able to learn from them and their ministry. While we were in Burkina, we also got started learning French. If you're going to be living and working in West Africa, French is an important language. France colonized a lot of that region of Africa, and so a lot of Africa uses French as a trade language. So we got to start at that. You know, if you're going to learn a language, you have to have a good sense of humor. All right? You can't take yourself too seriously because you will embarrass yourself. You will make mistakes. I remember outside of our house there in Burkina, we had this metal trash can. All right, and in that part of the world, you got to be careful with that kind of thing because there's guys that'll come along in the night and try to steal that so they can sell it for scrap metal. And sure enough, one morning we noticed somebody had come along in the night. I had it set into the concrete in front of our house, and somebody had come along, and it was evident they had tried to pry up on it to get it out of there. And I wasn't smart. I should have just right that morning gone out and got another bag of concrete and reset it, but I didn't, so eventually they got it, but we noticed somebody was prying up on it, and I decided to point this out to this Burkina Bay man that was standing next to me, so I opened my mouth and I said in French, "Look, someone tried to kill my trash can." And sometimes that just happens. Those two words in French, they're really nothing like each other, but sometimes your brain just spits out the wrong word. One time we were walking through a village and Anna saw some guinea fowls. And I don't know what your opinion of guinea fowls are, but I like them. They're good eating. But Anna decided to try out her French. And so she pointed one of those out and she said, "Look, a watermelon." But anyway, good times. We made some good progress. We're not quite there yet, but we did make some good progress. So I'm thankful for what the Lord enabled us to do there. About 9 months into our time in Burkina, we were praying and we began to sense that that was not the place the Lord would have us to stay long term. We're thankful for the time we got to spend there. But it was evident that maybe the Lord was moving us on there. We felt that one thing was we felt that if we were going to stay in Burkina, we would want to branch out from the ministries that were already in the capital city and start a new work. And just with terrorism plaguing much of the country, that was a very difficult prospect. So we decided, believing the Lord still wanted us to labor in Africa, we decided to go through another open door that He was setting before us in the country of Cameroon where Anna grew up. So just some statistics about Cameroon here. The population's around 30 million people. Cameroon's a very diverse country. I've read that there's around 280 different languages spoken in Cameroon, and I'm not sure completely how they're counting that, but still, there's a lot of linguistic diversity there. Slightly larger than the state of California, Cameroon has been called Africa in miniature. All right, and what that means is the topography of Cameroon, again, is diverse. So if you think about Africa, some parts of Africa are desert, right? Some parts of Africa are jungle. Some parts of Africa are mountainous. Some parts of Africa are, if you go to the coast, maybe it's like a hot and humid coastal type area. And Cameroon just has all of that. So the people are diverse, the landscape is diverse, but wherever you go in Cameroon, there's one common problem, and that is people need the gospel. People need to know about the message of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And something Anna's father, Tom Needham, likes to say about Cameroon is the gospel doors are so wide open right now that the hinges have blown off. And basically what that means is if you were to go to Cameroon right now, if you were to get on the plane this morning, arrive in Cameroon maybe tomorrow, it would take you about 20 hours to get there. But if you were to go to Cameroon right now, it would not take you long after you got off the plane to find somebody that would be willing to listen to you, give them the gospel. And so there's many, many people in Cameroon right now, even Muslims, that are willing to have a religious conversation. And that's a very encouraging thing. And that is an open door that needs to be taken advantage of because, quite frankly, it may not be open forever. All right, another map of Cameroon there. I'm going to highlight some other missionaries that are there. Some of these you may know, and I have a reason for doing that. So bear with me. This is the Sam Sanderlin family. They are ministering in the town of Bafoussam, which is in the west region of Cameroon. That's where we located while we were in Cameroon. We were in Cameroon in 2025 from January to late July. So some good opportunities there we'll tell you about. I believe you know Chris Sanderlin and his family. This is Brother Seth Folkers and his wife Caitlin. They're ministering in Yaoundé. In his last term, Brother Seth did a tremendous job in training some national men for the ministry. And it's really encouraging to see what those men are going forward and doing. So thankful for him and his ministry. Right now, he's kind of shifted his focus, and he's working on leading a translation into what's called Pidgin. It's a trade language. It's called Pidgin English, but it's really different than English. These are Anna's parents, Tom and Barb Needham. My father-in-law, he's 73, 74, and he still flies airplanes. So, Glenn and Sarah Swanson, I believe you know them. They're ministering in the town of Chong. We were able to fill in for them, fill the pulpit for them in Chong there for a few weeks while they were in the States having little charity there. And then there's a good handful of national men who have a tremendous heart for church planting, who have a tremendous heart for evangelism, for reaching their own country with the gospel. This particular brother, his name is Godlove. All right, and Brother Godlove he's trying to plant a church in a town called Ngambe Tikar. And we were able to go to Ngambe Tikar. And if you walk into Ngambe Tikar, kind of feels like you're walking into the Old West. It's a remote logging town. Cameroon does a good bit of logging. They have a lot of trees. So why do I tell you about this? Just to emphasize the fact that over the past few decades, the Lord has begun a truly encouraging work in Cameroon, West Africa. If you were to go and meet some of these people that we're talking to, visit them, see what the Lord is doing through them, your heart would be encouraged. Your heart would be stirred at what God is doing. But if you travel to different parts of Cameroon, and we did some of that while we were over there this past year, we did some survey excursions, go to different parts of Cameroon and see the need, you'll come to the conclusion that, as it says, and it's either Joshua or Judges, there remaineth much land to be possessed. There's still a lot of Cameroon that needs gospel laborers. Whether that be missionaries or national pastors, there's a lot of places in Cameroon where the movement that God has started, if you will, has yet to touch or be established in. So there's a good bit of need in Cameroon, and we believe the Lord is leading us to return and help meet that need. And what I'm going to do now is just highlight some of these different places that we've seen, but just keep in mind, this is just a handful of the many different cities, towns, and villages in Cameroon that need gospel preachers. So behind us in this picture here is a town called Ngaoundre. All right, and Ngaoundre is the capital of a region, which would be their equivalent to a state, a region in north-central Cameroon called the Adamawa region. And the Adamawa region, most of the folks that live there, they're Muslims. Not all of them, but most of them. In this city you see behind us here, I know of no independent Baptist missionaries or national pastors working in this city. As you can see, it's quite large. Anna's parents may go up on a part-time basis when they go back to Cameroon this year. But other than that, I don't know of anybody, any independent Baptists that are there in that capital or in the region around it. You go north of there. Ngaoundre and Adamawa is kind of a more elevated region. But as you go north in Cameroon, the elevation drops off. And you get into the part of Cameroon that's mostly desert, dry and hot. And we flew over and landed in the airport at the capital city of that region. It's called Garowa. And again, most of the folks here would be Muslim. But Garowa would be a good window for somebody to go into to reach into the north region. There are some security concerns up in that region. But Garowa is pretty safe from what I'm told. And as you can see, just a sprawling city of probably thousands and thousands of people in need of the gospel. Again, I don't know of any independent Baptist missionaries laboring in this particular city. But the Lord is at work in Garowa. While we were in the airport, somebody there told us that a high-level Muslim cleric had come to Christ, and I don't know who gave him the gospel. I don't know where he heard it. But there's an open door in this city for somebody to go come alongside of what God is doing and reaching those folks for Christ. You'll notice this picture is a little greener. That's because we've moved from the north region of Cameroon and you go to the east region of Cameroon. A lot of the east region looks like this. It's more remote. It's more sparsely populated than some other parts of Cameroon. But in spite of this, Bertoua, the capital city of that region, is a growing city. People are moving to Bertoua. And again, I don't know of any missionaries of our stripe or national pastors that are in this city or the region, the entire East region for that matter, trying to win people to the Lord, plant churches, complete the Great Commission. I'm told if you go to the southern part of the East region, there's a population of pygmies. So if you have a good sense of adventure, maybe you might want to go down there, learn their language, try to minister to those folks. Maybe we could send Hiles down there. That would be a good thing for him to do. So in central Cameroon, this is just another example of an area where you could go preach the gospel to folks. This is the shoreline of a lake called Lake Bankin. It's a large man-made reservoir. And you fly over this lake, and just all around this lake, there's a number of little fishing villages or individual compounds where like a family would live. And again, these folks, they need the gospel. So Cameroon is, much of Cameroon is an open country at this point. And if you were to go again, you would find that many people are open. The people are friendly. The people are hospitable. You would enjoy your time there. But Cameroon is also a land of spiritual darkness. And in this picture, this is a large shrine in the town of Chong where the Swansons are working. And the tribe there, they still worship their ancestors. Now, to you and me, worshiping dead people might not make a whole lot of sense. But there's people alive and well this morning to whom that makes perfect sense. And unfortunately, some of them are quite satisfied with it. But they need somebody to go to preach the gospel to them, to show them they can put their hope in somebody that conquered death, not in somebody who is dead. This is a smaller shrine that you might find outside of someone's house. Roman Catholicism is a big thing in Cameroon, but not just Roman Catholicism, but other forms of Christianity, so-called. And obviously, this isn't just a problem in Cameroon. This is a problem all over the world where people name the name of Christ. They call themselves Christians of some kind. But at the end of the day, they're trying to get to God through another mediator than the mediator that God provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, that person needs the gospel just as much as their neighbor that's sacrificing to their ancestors. And sometimes what happens in Africa is you have both. Someone may go to church on Sunday, but they have a problem in life, and they go to the witch doctor. So synchronization of beliefs is a problem at times in Africa in general. So this is the palace of a Muslim chief. We mentioned Islam again. Many Muslims are open to having a religious conversation in Cameroon. It's still not easy for them to get saved. If they get saved, they will probably experience social persecution to one degree or another. But still, there is an open door there, especially if you take the time to learn their language. So again, the need in Cameroon is great, and what is God's solution to meeting the need of lostness? It's to send gospel laborers. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Laborers need to go. So that is where we are at in our ministry. We're preparing to head back to Cameroon. We don't actually know for sure where in Cameroon we're going to be established yet. We're still seeking the Lord on that. As you have seen, there's a number of things we could do. And we're just still deciding what we should do. But generally speaking, as we go forward, we anticipate in being involved in church planting. Maybe you've seen some pictures of this. This is the church in Chang. Sometimes when we were filling the pulpit there, our services looked like this. That is kind of a hard area there. But God is bigger than hard areas. Amen. This is our Easter crowd. We will continue language learning. Like I said, we've got a ways to go in French, so we intend to increase our skill in that language. That will definitely be one of our first focuses when we get back. But once we determine where we're going to settle on a more long-term basis, we'll take a good look, and that will at least consider learning the major African dialect of that area. I've seen in different missionaries' ministries, just the doors that can open is incredible if you do that. It's not necessarily easy, and it is something that takes time, but it just seems that the doors that opens is worth the effort. So, for example, Anna's dad, Brother Needham there, he took the time to learn the Fafulde language. And the Fafulde language is the language of the Fulani Muslim people. And it's just amazing to watch him. Everywhere he goes, he has open doors with these folks simply because he speaks their language, their heart language, the language their worldview is in, the language they think in, they reason in. And just everywhere he goes, he has open doors to give them tracks. He likes to give them these little SD cards that they can stick in their phone that has gospel resources on it, and or just witnessing to them. It's amazing the doors that knowing the language opens. So we will be looking into that. Lord willing, we'll be ministering in villages. I like ministering in the villages. That's a more primitive setting, but sometimes that's where you find open people. Not every village, but in my experience, it's there are some tremendous open doors there. Sometimes people, for example, maybe after the work of the day is done and in the evening, they're willing to just sit down with you and take an extended amount of time to study the scriptures. And that's just an amazing thing. But some tremendous open doors for evangelism, for discipleship, for church planting in those more primitive settings. So we look forward to doing some more of that. Training leaders is just is a central thing in what missionaries do. Committing the things that we have learned to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Training men to do the work of the ministry, to take on the responsibility of the Great Commission among their own people for themselves, just central, a key thing. And we were able to do some of that while we were over there this past year. I taught hermeneutics to these two young men. That's Jude on the right there and Orlando on the left, and they are laboring in the town of Bafusam. So thankful for that opportunity, and Lord willing, we will be doing more of that in the days to come. So thankful for our children. They open doors wherever we go. And they're great icebreakers. But pray for them. They need the gospel too. So while we were over there, we applied for our residence permits, and we got those just recently. If you'd pray for us on this, they kind of changed the system. So I'm not sure how all that affects us. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have to extend these, and then which should get us back into the country. But once we're back, we might have to reapply under the new system. So if you'd pray for us on that, I'd appreciate it. Third world politics can be an interesting thing sometimes. So, but when you're a foreigner, sometimes all you can do is roll with the punches. So pray for us, please, as we move forward by faith. Like I said, we don't know exactly where in Cameroon we're going to end up yet. But I like Acts chapter 16 and verse 10 there, that famous missionary passage where Paul received the Macedonian vision. And you know, it's interesting, we don't think of Paul in these terms necessarily so often, but when Paul got to Troas, he was at a spot in his ministry where he didn't know where he was going to go next. All he knew at that point was God told him, don't go to Asia, don't go to Bithynia. And so here's Paul at Troas looking for where he's going to go next. And it's there he has the Macedonian vision. And Acts 16:10 says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they believed God led them. They decided to obey by faith immediately. They endeavored to go. But you know, at that point, Paul didn't necessarily know everywhere in Macedonia he would end up at. He didn't know how long he would be there. He didn't necessarily know what trials he would face there, how God would work. He just knew that's where God wanted him to go. And so he obeyed by faith, and as he obeyed, God led him. So I think that's a very good picture of where we're at in our ministry. We believe God has led us, and we are moving forward by faith, trusting him to continue to lead us as we launch out into the white harvest fields of Cameroon, West Africa. So we appreciate your prayers again as we do that. All right, I think I'm going to go ahead and open it for questions. Does anybody have questions based on anything we've talked about this morning? I'm sure it does. So Cameroon, again, is linguistically diverse. Most of Cameroon uses French as a trade language, but there's two regions in western Cameroon that use primarily English as their trade language, as the language of education. So that's where my wife grew up, and so she speaks the African accent very well, the Cameroonian English accent. She speaks that well. She's fluent in the Pidgin English, which, again, it's based on English, but it's not English. I don't speak that, so I can't give you a demonstration. If you want a demonstration, maybe you can talk to her after Sunday school here. But she speaks that well, but she didn't grow up learning French because they don't really speak that where she grew up. So she's learning it, but yes, I believe that helps her because, again, she's just a natural at the accent. I'm not, but she is, so good question. All right. Right. Okay. So again, we're still working on that. That is an option that we are considering, to come alongside of someone, at least in the initial time when we get back over there. It would be great if we could launch out into a new region. As you saw, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. In that particular picture you were talking about, that was in Chang, and Chang is a good-sized town. That's where the Swansons are. And in a town like that, yes, you can go door-to-door. And we did some of that, going from like apartment complex to apartment complex. You can witness to people on the streets, pass out tracts. A couple good opportunities every year in Cameroon to pass out tracts and John Romans is there's a couple of national holidays. There's a youth day, and then there would be, I guess you could call it, for lack of a better term, their equivalent to 4th of July. So their national holiday. And usually when they celebrate those two holidays, they have parades and marches and things like that. And those are just good opportunities to go and like I said, pass out gospel literature. And actually, the literacy rate seems to be pretty good over there. So those are some good opportunities. For the youth holiday this past year, we were in it was a more remote area, smaller town, but still there were just a lot of people there. And we passed out a few hundred John Romans at that event. So good opportunities there. So yes, if you're in a town, going from house to house or witnessing on the street is pretty much what you're going to be doing. But in the villages, it's a little different. You have to get permission from the chief. It's not a good idea to go in there and try to do something without getting permission from the chief first. But as long as he gives you permission, certainly you can visit people in their homes. But like I said, it's not uncommon for people to be willing to gather in a group and have a Bible study or an evangelistic service that way. So there's a variety of things you can do. Good question. Yes, so two regions that come to mind is the far north of Cameroon. So the far north of Cameroon kind of comes up and it touches Lake Chad. If you hear about Lake Chad in the news, it's always bad. So the Boko Haram violence in northeast Nigeria sometimes spills over up there. So unfortunately, that's not a very safe place to go at this time. But then the English regions where my wife grew up, those have been torn up in a civil conflict since, I think it's 2018, thereabouts, when that started. And since then, no missionaries have really gone back in there. There are some national men that have stuck it out, and their testimony of faithfulness to the Lord in the midst of all that is amazing. There are some real men of faith serving the Lord there. And sometimes I hear some good things about that, maybe settling down, but at least in the region where Anna grew up, it just continues to drag on. So that's still definitely a need for prayer. So there's those two places, and then I've been told the borderland next to the Central African Republic, should probably stay away from there too. So the question was, why is Cameroon more open there compared to some other places? That's a very good question. I don't know that I've thought about that all that much. But I would imagine the prayers of missionaries that had been serving there for years has something to do with it. It's interesting, though. Sub-Saharan Africa in general just seems to be at a very open point in its history. And again, I'm not sure of all the factors involved in that. It just seems to be the case. People are maybe open to new ideas. People are looking for a better life. So there's definitely a need, an open door, not just in Cameroon, but in other places that need to be taken advantage of. But again, I'm not sure of all the factors involved. Okay. All right. If there are no others, let's see here. Here's some other pictures you might enjoy looking at. I don't always show these. These are some other national brothers that are serving the Lord. That's Courage I don't know if you've heard of Courage before. He's on the right there. He's kind of an evangelist. He goes from town to town and helps with outreaches. And that's Cornelius there on the far left. He's pastoring a church in, I believe it's Bemidji. And that's in that region I told you of that Anna grew up in. So he's one of those that's continuing to serve the Lord, even though his area is not, it's not very safe right now. This is a picture at a parade that I was telling you about, an opportunity to pass out John Romans. So just some other pictures there. When you pass out tracts in Cameron, it's encouraging. Sometimes you pass out tracts, you go up the street, you come back, and as you come back, you see people that you gave the tracts to just sitting down reading them. And I don't really see that necessarily a lot. I haven't seen that a lot in the States, maybe sometimes, but again, people are just open. They're open to talking to you. They're open to receiving gospel literature and actually sitting down and reading it, considering what it says. And they're open to, again, discussing religious things. So, very encouraging. All right. If there's no other questions. Okay, one more. Right, so he asked if the culture is less materialistic. I would say yes, just because a lot of people, they're poor. Now, you go to Cameroon, and it's evident that there are some Cameroonians that have done very well. There are some Cameroonians that are wealthy. A lot of them are not. A lot of them don't have a lot. And so I would say yes. There, in some ways, there's less of a materialistic mindset on the one hand. On the other hand, ideas like, I believe, the prosperity gospel are popular because people don't have a lot. And they're looking for hope. They're looking for ways to advance themselves. And so that kind of teaching, or if you just do certain things to manipulate God and he will pour out his blessings on you, that's a big problem. Because, again, I imagine it's popular because of the need that's there. But Jesus did say, the poor in this world are rich in faith. And when you go and you minister in more primitive settings like the villages, that's evident. So, let me give you an example of that, just in the time we have left here. While we were over there, we were able to visit a place called Lake Mbakao. And Lake Mbakao is another man-made reservoir. And there's three large man-made reservoirs there in central Cameroon that they use to help power the city of Douala. And Douala, it's not the capital of Cameroon, but it's the economic capital. It's a port city, but anyway, they use these large man-made reservoirs to help power it, and the Lord is beginning something special around Lake Mbakao. There's a couple of villages. There's one called Naskul. There's another one called Kombo that people have received the gospel. They're being discipled. Churches are being started in those two villages. And it's encouraging. We were able to go out there and minister for a few days. But near the airstrip there's an airstrip out there. Near the airstrip, just back in the bush, there's a man. He kind of just lives there by himself with his family. You follow the bush path a little ways, and there's a blind man that lives out there too. His name is Joseph. And then another family. But this one man I'm talking about, his name is Umaru Daniel. And again, Umaru Daniel, he just lives out there in the bush. Not many people nearby. and they live in just very primitive conditions. But he has received the gospel, he's come to the Lord, and he just has a tremendous burden for other people that he knows to hear the gospel. He's been trying to connect my father-in-law to other people in the town of Mbakao that he knows so that they can hear, so that they can listen to hear the gospel and be saved. One sad thing, though, that happened while we were there. His wife had a little girl, and unfortunately, just a few days after she was born, she passed away. And again, think of Umaru Daniel here. He's here out in the bush, doesn't have much of a support base, just maybe those other friends there that live out in that same bush area. He's just recently saved. This happens. And, you know, over there, funerals and burials are not very complicated. They just dig a hole. A lot of them, sometimes they do it right by their house. They just dig a hole and they stick the body in there and cover it up. So I watched him bury that little girl with his own hands. And, you know, you think of a young Christian like that, maybe he would be tempted to become bitter, angry, upset at God. Why are you doing this to me? And we just have not sensed any of that in him. He continues to have just a fervent spirit for others to hear the gospel and be saved. And that's just really a testimony to the grace of God and the hope in God that that he's found. And just the grace and the hope the gospel can bring is incredible. So again, he's a poor man, but he's rich in faith. He believes the gospel, and the grace of God has gotten him through a deep trial in his life. What a wonderful thing that is. All right. I think that's all I have for you this morning. Why don't I go ahead and pray, and then Brother Heffernan, you can just continue as you plan. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the hope of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would help us to spread it all throughout Cameroon. Thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing. And may you continue to be honored and glorified through what you're doing there. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Matt, for sharing that burden. And boy, I tell you, there's an aspect of seeing one aerial shot of a city after another and realize, well, how's he going to do all three of those? I mean, it's just and the realization that there is a great need and an open door, and just to hear that receptivity that God is at work and moving on a people. And there are times in which that takes place and people are ready to receive. And then there's other times when you can recognize a real deafening hardness in a people. And so it's hard to put your finger on exactly how all that is, but it's encouraging to hear that God's doing work there and moving. And it was interesting. I was talking to another pastor up north, and he had mentioned, he said, a lot of times we try to spread our missionaries out and have them in all different places, and we've got the whole world covered right here from Bethel. That's a fun thing. But he said, well, there was some strategic advantages to having multiple missionaries from the same area, because you're constantly getting, we as a church become more and more in tune to what's going on in that country. And then if you're able to go, you can minister to multiple aspects. And just the aspect of the thought of our church having a region of the world that we have a particular burden for and investing in, and things along those lines. It's just encouraging to kind of, it's an interesting thought. But it's also fascinating to see that happening here, because some of the things that Brother Matt's sharing with us is some of the things that Glenn Swanson has talked about, and seeing that reiterated in our minds and our hearts and saying, wow, in terms of the ancestry worship and the difficulty and the need. And so I'm so thankful for the Lord, the laborers that God has raised up, and yet our hearts are moved. There's still yet a need more. So we're going to be in prayer for the Risinger family, and they're going to be here this evening. Brother Matt's going to be able to preach for us, and but I hope you get a chance to get to know them and catch more of their burden, their tables in the back along those lines. So I'll go ahead and dismiss you at this time, and we'll have a time of fellowship before the morning worship service.